Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Say together the opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in Revelations, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And we read in Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And our first hymn is All My Hope on God Is Founded.
To a tune that we may not be familiar with.
As we remain standing, let us make a statement of our belief. What do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. But we confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and harmony with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The Apostle Paul said, this is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle John said, if any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins. Because of that, we can have peace with God, as the Scripture says, and therefore we can say we are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You might like to share that peace with each other. And so we continue our service. In the light of what we've heard from God's word, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. You join me in this prayer. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Amen. Amen.
All who love the Lord Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. And the small cups contain grape juice and wine, and the bread is gluten-free. And you can stand or kneel to receive communion at the rail. And we encourage families to come together.
Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and who have received these pledges of his love, thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen.
We've just discovered an email for Imogen saying, I've been travelling and I have seen the reminder about prayers on Sunday. Alas, I'm in the south of France. Near St. Emilion for the wine aficionados among the congregation. There we go. And I've been in absolute awe of the beautiful churches, many of which date to the 11th or 12th century. However, they're beautiful, empty buildings, nothing like the cosy and vibrant St. Giles. So I'll be reading her prayers, but we'll start with the collect for the 15th Sunday. And here it is. Let us pray to understand more fully the responsibilities we have as Christians. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Some here, prayers for Sunday. Yes. Let's pray. God, our Maker, we are your creatures, fearfully and wondrously made, imperfect, different, fallible, and absolutely created in love by you and for a purpose by you. We are so grateful, Jesus, that the thing that binds us together is you. You are our commonality, and it's not something we've had to construct and maintain by ourselves. The burden of that would be so great. Instead, we rejoice in the knowledge that you created each one of us individually with different skills and likes, different ways of thinking and problem solving, different ways of understanding you. And yet, all these differences and rampant individuality is woven together by the Spirit into one glorious, sometimes lumpy and bumpy, body. Creator Father, we mentally take a step back and marvel at your creative abilities, at your wisdom, at your perfection. What a wonderful thing to be an individual, but also part of the greater corporate entity of your church. But Father, as we think about this, it's pretty hard also not to be sad, because at the same time we see glorious unity, we see disunity and fear, and instances where individuality has become divisive in your church. Where your people have been afraid of difference or unkind about how we express opinions. And there is so much hurt and there are so many schisms. Father, you are not only the King of creation, but the Lord of healing. We pray for this healing to come upon your church, that the problems, which are complex and emotionally and politically fraught, will be smoothed over, that wounds will be healed, that grace will be abundant, that compassion and kindness and gentleness and self-control would prevail. That from you, flowing like an endless fountain from you, through your people, because for sure we can't do this from our own strength. Father, we pray for this in our own parish, in this diocese and in this country and in the world. We pray for your church overseas, for areas where this is a particular challenge, even if we can't name those places specifically. We pray for your love and power to be present in communities that are exhausted, that are overly complacent, that are feeling particularly self-righteous. Please show us our sin and give us gentleness and a humble heart to turn to you. Father, we want to love you and live for you in your ways, with your people. Help us to do this now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. And so, And so, as our Lord taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good old spot. Don't know if you knew the regulation, but basically we weren't supposed to do any memorial services for the Queen until after the official funeral. So you might have noticed yesterday there was one at St Mary's Cathedral and one at St Andrew's previous to that. So now all the big official things are happening where we're... But I know a lot of them snuck in before the official time. So we've been waiting until after the official funeral to do our sort of tribute to the Queen. And what I have for you is we've all seen so much repeatedly on the news about her life and what she's done, and we all know that and are grateful to God for that. But this one came through an email from All Souls Langham Place in England, and it's what they've put together is basically voice clips of all the comments that she made about Christianity, about her faith. She's the defender, was the defender of the faith, and this is her faith expressed in her words. It's a little sermon all by itself, and it just throughout her life summarizes her view of what she believed, what we believe, what the church believes. And so it's a really interesting thing. You won't get this on the news, this summary of the Christian faith, the way she presents it. So I encourage you to sit back. I thought we might sing something afterwards, but every time I watch it, I thought, I can't sing after that. It's really good, really moving, and so we'll just watch it and thank God for her life. Very slow starting as a movie.
Simple happenings that form the starting point of the life of Jesus, a man whose teachings have been handed down from generation to generation and have been the bedrock of my faith.
I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join in it with me, as I now invite you to do. I know that your support will be unfailingly given. God help me to make good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share in it.
And there comes the presentation to her of the Bible upon which she took her oath.
Our gracious Queen, keep your majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes. We present you with this book, the most valuable thing which the world affords.
Here is wisdom, this is the royal law, these are the lively oracles of God.
I hope that like me you will be comforted by the example of Jesus of Nazareth, who often in circumstances of great adversity managed to live an outgoing, unselfish and sacrificial life. He makes it clear that genuine human happiness and satisfaction lie more in giving than receiving, more in serving than in being served. We can surely be grateful that 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, so many of us are able to draw inspiration from his life and message. and to find in him a source of strength and courage. Jesus Christ lived obscurely for most of his life and never travelled far. He was maligned and rejected by many, though he had done no wrong. In his early 30s, he was arrested, tortured, and crucified with two criminals. His death might have been the end of the story, but then came the resurrection, and with it the foundation of the Christian faith. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive.
Stand and sing our next hymn.
This is our God. Bible reading today is from Paul's letters to the Corinthians, first letter, chapter 12. When being told that you're reading a letter from Paul, your heart sometimes sinks because he's full of arguments, if, then, else, maybe, otherwise, but, and terribly complicated. This is not a terribly complicated reading, it's all about analogies. So please sit back and listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First section, concerning spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. And the next section is entitled, One Body with Many Members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But, as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honourable we clothe with greater honour, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I'll show you yet a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. Morning, everyone. You all know Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
Yes,
hi.
Exactly. I'm going to ask him a couple of questions, but first, could you stand on one leg while we're doing this? Thank you very much. Now, how was your week?
Yeah, it was alright.
Pretty good. You had, what were you mainly involved with this week? There was a big assignment?
Yes. So this week at Moore College, I had an assignment on Deuteronomy 15. It was an Old Testament exegetical. We looked at the Hebrew, and that was hard. But one thing I really loved about looking at Deuteronomy 15 was, the first section, is it's about, it's an expansion on the law of the Sabbath. And, it was wonderful thinking about what God had called the Israelites to, how they called them to live.
So. You're doing well with the balance so far. Did you watch the football last night?
I did, yes.
Oh, who are you going for?
My family is a little bit I don't know. I, in terms of my sport, I don't really follow sport, but I watch it if it's on.
Right, okay. Very diplomatic answer. I'm having fun with you because I was thinking you can put your foot down now. Did you feel more comfortable with 2 feet on the ground?
It's definitely more comfortable.
Even though you have one very good leg and it does a great job, but it just seems to be better when you have both feet on the ground.
Definitely.
It's not redundant. It's actually helpful to have 2 feet.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave that there and let you talk.
There you go. All right. How about I pray and then we'll get into the passage. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for gathering us here this morning. Please help me to teach clearly and faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this week, the world mourned the passing of our great Queen Elizabeth. On Thursday, we had that holiday. And during the week, I heard about another big day recognized all around the world. On Wednesday, the 21st of September, was the United Nations International Day of Peace. The United Nations was formed in 1945. It is comprised of six main bodies, the General Assembly, the Security Council, the Economic and Social Council, the Trusteeship Council, the International Court of Justice, and the UN Secretariat. The slogan on the UN website reads, "Peace, dignity, and equality on a healthy planet." We have much to be thankful for about the United Nations. Peace, dignity, equality, and a healthy planet are excellent aims to strive for. However, the state of the world makes it seem like achieving perfection in each of those areas, it sometimes seems distant and perhaps unachievable. The United Nations called the world on the 21st of September to recognise the International Day of Peace by observing 24 hours of non-violence and ceasefire. In other words, don't hurt anyone. But God's word talks about a worldwide body of people that dwarfs the United Nations bodies in number. And instead of legislating change in the world, God's word reveals a different and exciting world, different and exciting work in the world by God through his body. Self-sacrificial love by Christians in service of those around us so that everyone has the opportunity to fellowship with believers under the Lordship of Jesus. The main point of today's talk is God has composed the body of Christ for harmonious unity. And that brings me to point number one. Point number one is clued in through Christ. Clued in through Christ. So let's read verses 1 to 3 of chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. First, let's look at the first verse. The subject of this verse is spiritual gifts. The Greek word behind this term is an adjective meaning spiritual. And it's a neuter word, not masculine or feminine, which means it's not talking about people. Paul is talking about spiritual things, which most translations think have taken to mean gifts or giftings. And Paul's goal here is that he doesn't want them to be uninformed. He wants them to have a proper understanding about the subject. Now, the Corinthians were hyper aware of the spiritual. They lived in a wealthy Roman town which was very into Greek religion. And Paul's goal here is to help the Corinthian believers understand what God has given people spiritual gifts for. In verses 2 to 3, Paul contrasts idolatry and the spirit. In Paul's mind, spirituality is binary. Binary means it has to be one or the other. Paul tells the Corinthians that they used to be led astray to silent idols, and now they are aware of true spirituality, the Holy Spirit. And then Paul tells the Corinthians how to know if someone really has the Holy Spirit. The litmus test for whether someone has the Spirit is whether they acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus, the Lordship of Christ. True spirituality is a transformed life into the image of Christ and is lived in love for God and neighbour. Now, as I said before, Corinth was a very wealthy religious city. Very wealthy. Let's check out the picture on the screen. This is a picture of what Corinth looks like. This is what central Corinth looked like. It's a little bit small, but in reality, it was very big and impressive. It was a very big city. I wonder if you've ever walked into the CBD of North Sydney or across the Harbour Bridge in the CBD of Sydney. I love walking through the city. When you walk through our city at night, you see company logos up in neon lights. And when you walk through the city, you see attractive ads on big, high-definition computer screens. And when you walk through the city, you see impressive shops decked out in the latest fashions and fads. It can be mesmerizing. It can be dizzying. It can be hypnotizing. The Corinthians had a lot of problems differentiating themselves from the people who lived in the big, impressive, very religious city around them. And in these three verses, Paul is giving them the information they need to know if someone really has true spirituality, true supernatural spirituality. And when it comes to church, how can we know if we're doing it properly? How can we know if we have true spirituality? It's all about the Lordship of Christ, as we heard about in the video from Queen Elizabeth. The man that God sent to the world 2,000 years ago. Can you articulate who Jesus is for you? Can your Bible teachers articulate who Jesus is for them? Church is all about meeting under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that brings me to point number two. Point number two is common power for the common good. Common power for the common good. So let's read verses 4 to 7 and verse 11. 4 to 7 and verse 11. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And down to verse 11. All of these are activated by the one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. There are a few things to notice in these verses. Notice the contrast between varieties of gifts and the oneness of God in verses 4 to 6. This contrast is intentional. Some Christians get very excited about the diversity of gifts within the church, and some Christians think that the excitement about the spiritual is misplaced. And they talk about the rationality of the one God. Paul teaches us that we have to hold both. There is one true and living God, and he gifts his children with numerous different spiritual gifts. I think verse 7 is the key verse in this section, verses 4 to 11. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Notice what each person is given and the purpose for which they are given it. We are given the manifestation of the Spirit. What a glorious thought. Manifestation means revelation. Believers can only trust in God when he has revealed himself to them. And each person understands different aspects of God in different measures. And what's the purpose of this gift that we've been given? What's the purpose? Why does God reveal himself to us and gift us in it with different abilities? So that we can serve the common good. God doesn't give us supernatural gifting so that we can become self-obsessed superheroes. God reveals himself to us so that we can be a blessing to others. On the and that's a picture of North Sydney, all the fancy lights. On Thursday, on the public holiday, I went up to Avoca Beach on the Central Coast and spent time with family. And we went to the movies and watched a movie called DC League of Super Pets. The movie is about a number of pets who gain superpowers by being close to orange kryptonite. This special substance makes them super pets. And there are a bunch of good super pets, including Crypto and Ace. Crypto is the white dog and Ace is the grey dog. And there are a bunch of evil super pets, a bunch of guinea pigs with super abilities. Now, the movie was about a 6 out of 10, quite a generic superhero movie, but I think it quite well illustrates the opposite of the reason for which we're given the Holy Spirit. The super pets, when they get their superpowers, become obsessed with achieving their own personal goals, either getting their owners back for the good dogs, for the good pets, or wanting evil world domination for the guinea pigs. God does not give us supernatural giftings for our own personal plans. He gives us abilities so that we can contribute to the good of others, which is found primarily in groupings of believers, in church, in gatherings. So in application, we should have humility. The list of spiritual gifts in verses 8 to 10 is pretty impressive. And those in the church who have giftings that call them to be at the front more often are tempted to become proud. But that is not why God gives us spiritual gifts. The power of spiritual gifts isn't from me and it isn't for me. The power of spiritual gifts isn't from you and it isn't for you. We should have humility about our gifts. And we've been given a clear purpose for them, for the common good. Imagine being in a community that is full of people that are not living for themselves, but instead live for the common good. That is what the amazing transformative work of God does in a group of believers. God gives us the common power of the Holy Spirit for the common good. And that brings me to point number 3, composed by God. Point number 3, composed by God. And I'm making this section 12 to 31, so the rest of the passage. And we'll just read a few verses 22, 24b, and 25. So firstly, verse 22. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. And down to the end of verse 24. But God has so arranged the body, giving greater honour to the inferior member, so that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for each other. So in this section, Paul is talking about how every part of the church is needed. Every part has different giftings. But every part is needed. No part can say to another part that they are not needed. And look at the end of verse 24. God has arranged the body. This is what makes the church different to any other organization in the world. God is the one who shapes our gatherings. He is the one who draws each person to himself. Verse 25 reveals the noble reason why God has arranged his body. Verse 25. So that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. God wants everyone to get the proper care they need to survive life in this world, which is undeniably difficult and unfair. In the worldwide body of Christ, everyone should have a place, and no one should be left out. And look at verse 22. Weaker members are indispensable. Indispensable means absolutely necessary. And the Bible is clear that everyone has weakness. Everyone struggles with sin. It's why God sent us a Saviour. But this weakness is part of God's design for the world. He made us so that we need to trust in him and live a new life depending on him for everything. God made us with weakness so that we have to find true strength in him. In the body of Christ, admitting our weakness is the only prerequisite. Living under the lordship of Christ is the norm. Peace, verse 25, and camaraderie and joy, verse 26, are the present day benefits. And eternal life is what we have to look forward to. Think of a great symphony orchestra. You got a picture for this? Great symphony orchestra. Do you ever find someone with a big whoopee cushion playing in an orchestra? Do you ever find a soccer player dribbling a ball in front of an orchestra? Do you ever find an elephant doing tricks behind an orchestra? No, no, no. An orchestra is composed by a composer. Every member in an orchestra is arranged and has their specific purpose. Likewise, church is arranged and composed by God, and sometimes you feel a bit out of place at church. Everyone does at some point. But in this passage, God's word assures you, you are exactly where he wants you. You are exactly where you're meant to be. The body of Christ, the gathering of believers in Christ, is like an orchestra which seeks the good of each member. And 2 points of application. Worship and use your gifts. Worship, first worship. Enjoy God's goodness in gathering people together under the lordship of Christ. Isn't it so good? Living in communities like this is such a sweet taste of what the new creation will be like. And secondly, use your gifts. Gifts are the things that you are good at, or just have a go at, or sometimes just doing the things that need to be done. Gifts and needs can change. Look at the last verse of chapter 12. I found this interesting while looking at the passage. The last verse of chapter 12. But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. God wants his people to think entrepreneurially in self-sacrificial love for the wider church. He wants us to have eyes looking for what needs to be done, who needs to be cared for, who needs to be encouraged. That's how God wants us to think. In conclusion, the last couple of weeks we've thought about how the church is like a flock of sheep and like a temple. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us another picture of the church. It's like a body, intimately connected, with every part playing a role. As the body of Christ, we are clued in through Christ, given common power for the common good, and we are composed by God. Church is a global reality. We have brothers and sisters all around the world. But God wants his church to meet locally. And so if you're here this morning, you're exactly where God wants you to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending the Lord Jesus into the world to open up the offer of salvation to all people all around the world. Thank you for the body of Christ, which gathers all around the world and seeks to care for each member in each gathering. Thank you that you find weak people indispensable. You care for each one of us, no matter our history or our abilities. Please help us to be thankful for the work that you are doing all around the world through the body of Christ. And please help us to joyfully use our gifts for the benefit of those around us, especially within the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. So, we'll think local and stand and sing, "May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day."
Be the mind of Christ my Saviour.
The Bible study groups will be in recess for the next 2 weeks due to school holidays. Gives us a chance to long and yearn for more fellowship together as God's people. Next Sunday, I'll be away for the next couple of weeks as well. I've got a wedding up in Queensland to do on the long weekend. But next Sunday, on the long weekend, will be David Ray. I'm sure you all remember David. He came for a couple of times as on long service. And so he's coming to join us and to talk about the church being the bride. So while I'm doing a wedding, he'll be wearing a wedding dress. No, he said he wouldn't. He promised he wouldn't. but he will be talking about the church as the bride. Also remember that next Sunday is daylight saving. So I think Paul's advice was, if you forget to change your clock, you come in time for morning tea. So no big deal. But do try and get it right, otherwise you'll miss out on David. And the following week, I'm letting Leslie loose on you, which is really appropriate because we've just received an email reminding us that it's the centenary of an ordinance made by a synod allowing women to preach. And so that was 100 years ago, an ordinance of Sydney Diocese. And so they've encouraged us to have a woman preach in October. And so Leslie's it. Which actually, 2 weeks after that, we're having a lady called Jordan from Open Doors. So we're going to do it twice. Images in France, I told you just during the prayers. She's enjoying time over there. You realise we've been asking you to pray about synod, and normally we'll give a synod report. We wait for the diocese to give us the summary of synod with all the motions that were passed so that we can hand that out for those who want a copy and talk about it then. So that'll come up soon. And are there any other announcements? Nope. In which case, would you like to stand with me? We'll ask God to bless our time together, as he already has, and continues to do so, and then we'll continue our fellowship together as the body out in the morning tea area. So, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.